He was Ram Govinda in Orlando, so and we were on a little adventure today. Then Amala Harinam is also here. Hare Krishna. Very nice. I must say before, I have something very nice to share with you in the story, which most probably you will, it will haunt you in the night. It's so, so good. And so, I mean, has so much wisdom for our lives in it. I'm very happy to see you. I value these relationships which develop. How could I? My example in dancing, my example in mysticism also. Yeah. No, we were floating together down one river, and I know you as Kish, but there is a longer name, I think. Krishna Kishore, yes. And Krishna Kishore was there. And he was with us, but also in another world. I noticed that, which is good, you know. Spiritual person should have this ability. And you brought a herd of flutes with you, I think, in that thing. Ram Govindas, oh yeah. Yeah, so it's really when one comes, when one travels, like the way I travel this summer, one is extremely happy to see known faces, and I'm very grateful to you that you took the time out so that we can create memories this evening with our little program. Thank you all very much for caring to come, and I guess we start right with our subject matter. I will talk about the difficult road between trying to fulfill expectations but going your own way, as you know, there's sometimes a difficulty. We are in a group of friends. They have certain expectations in us. You may have an Instagram account, and there is an expectation in you to put things up. You may be born in the movement, and the expectation is that you follow this and that and the other thing. And sometimes people who try to fulfill expectations don't really live their own life. They don't follow their own path, but they live the life of others and follow the path of others. And this can become very dangerous when you are doing this in a religious context or in a context of a spiritual movement. So we will talk about this, and I will tell you my own story and the story of Surangi, the queen of Kashmir. Yes. So let us sing Jai Radha Madhava, maybe. Is this your personal harmonium? I have seen this harmonium travel with you to places, isn't it? Oh, this is a brand new version. Good. I have a pair of cartels always with me. No, I left it some in the house. Can someone please give me? Where are we? See. We will sing just briefly, and then I know you've had already a long kirtan. Please join me. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya Deshatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Vinna Deyarata Mataba Deyakunya Bihari Deyakunya Bihari Gopi Jana Vallava Jaya Giri Varadari Jaya Giri Varadari Gopi Jana Vallava Jaya Giri Varadari Jaya Giri Yasoda Nandana Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Ravana Chari Deya Kunya Bihari Deya Deya Kunya Vihari Kisana Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Everybody again. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Krishna.
Hey go, hey go.
Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Hare, Hare.
Rama, Rama, Rama.
Nittai, Gaura Nittai, Jai Gaura Nittai. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada Chila Prabhupada. Gaura Prema Nandi, Hari 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 Bo. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Just find. Goswami describes a very endearing discussion which two devotees had. They were sharing with each other why they had become devotees and stayed devotees. So one devotee was asking the other, what do you find in Krishna that you serve him? And the devotee who was asked said, you know, when I look at Krishna's mind, he actually becomes grateful for even the slightest amount of service, the smallest service which is rendered unto him, and he does not forget that. Perhaps they had discussed how Krishna, took this broken rice, I call it sweat rice, not sweet rice, because Sudama, who gave this to him, carried the pouch under his arm. It was practical, it was that type of bag which you put under the arm. But because he was walking a long distance in the heat, there was his sweat on the rice. But Krishna was so impressed by this service. He said later, this devotee has given me something much more than I can ever give him in return. I can give him a palace, but that's not difficult for me because I own everything. But Sudama owned nothing. He had to beg for this rice, and therefore he has outdone me. And the other devotee said, yeah, I've noted that in the mind of the Lord, but I like the Lord and like to serve him because he seems to forgive even the greatest offense which is committed against him. Perhaps they were talking about when a devotee turns totally away from Krishna, turns his back on Krishna. Krishna is willing to immediately, be there for the devotee. Maybe some of your generations have sometimes taken some drugs just to see what it is. They have seen, brings me into a mindset which is not a happy one always. So they have turned to Krishna and said, oh, my Lord, I have had this period in my life where I experimented a little bit, but I really wish to come and sing your holy name. And no matter what you do, Krishna, wholeheartedly, without passing even a small judgment, accepts us. Maybe they had talked like this. They said, Krishna is so tolerant, he forgives even the greatest offense. And then the other devotee says, yes, and I have also seen another characteristic in my Lord. It makes me tremble when I think about it. He becomes intolerant when he sees the suffering of his devotee. He rushes to the aid of the devotee and tries to help the devotee. So for these three qualities, the devotees liked Krishna. Krishna accepts the small amount of service, slightest amount. He is forgiving even of grief mistakes which are done in relationship to our relationship with him. And finally, he suffers. He actually feels the suffering of his devotees and then quickly acts to do something against it. All these qualities in Krishna point at one thing. Krishna loves us without judgment and expectation. He doesn't really, there is a Sanskrit term I have forgotten just now. It says, Krishna does not even see the mistakes of his devotees. He has no vision for this. He doesn't recognize it. Maybe like you don't recognize how your back looks. So Krishna cannot recognize or see the mistakes of his devotees. In human society, it is not like this. Very often, when we are with humans or amongst others, they have expectations in us. For instance, that we turn up at the right time when we have an appointment with them. Or they have other expectations that we call, that they call us at least on our birthday. I remember once I went to one devotional community in Germany, and you will laugh about this. One young devotee, youth, came to me and said, Maharaj, I just can't do this any longer, to always confirm to the expectations of others. And I've decided to do something really wild today. I said, would you like to share with you, if it's all right for Sannyasi to hear? And she said, today I have decided to unbind my hair and go with loose hair. I said, well, oh my God, that's not very wild. But what I could see, she was so constricted by the expectations of the devotees to have a certain hairstyle. And you know, in some communities in ISKCON, it is like this. If you have a highly cultivated decorative bird, you are not allowed to sing in the temple. Sometimes I know some places, and I'm just on a crusade to soften this judgment. I think don't we say you are not the body and all of that? So expectations are sometimes ridiculous. But sometimes they are there, and we suffer from them, and we just accept them and think this is what we want to do. We internalize it. But you know, this life of following expectations has no future, because first of all, you cannot make it right to everyone. In the street where I live is there is a house, and it has an inscription on the house. I like it very much. It says, even if you try to fulfill all the expectations in this street, the people will still talk about you. Someone put this engraved on their house. And it is a fact. Also, when you follow only the expectations of others, even if they are well-intentioned expectations, you might make more and more distance from yourself, and accept and instead of practicing self-realization, you become more and more estranged from yourself, and you become I mean, I don't want to use harsh words in this August assembly, but it is not good. And you meet, I visited the Mormon church in Utah. I could not resist, you know, when the Sadhu Sangha was finished, and I met these young missionaries, and they were also uniform. They all looked the same. They spoke the same sentence. Do you know the Book of Mormon? And then I met one of them, and she said, I'm now a missionary for 1.5 years. They have to be missionaries, they call. And I'm told that is God's will. But I don't feel that this is God's will. How do you find out? She could see I'm a devotee of Krishna from the external dress, you can see. How do you find out what is God's will? And I said, it may not always be the expectation of the group what is necessary to do. And then I spoke about that the Lord is right there in our heart, as the super soul. God is right there. And he's willing to talk to his devotee, and even in terms of intuitions and inspirations. And sometimes that may look different than the expectations others have in us. No, so we talked a little, and then other moments came, other Mormon missionaries, and I said, let us discontinue our talk now. And you tell me about the Book of Mormon, then the others will be satisfied with you, and you will not have any difficulty later with them. I'm telling you this by quoting another group which is much more numerous than we are, so that you can maybe look from outside and see those spots in your life where you might also follow the not that your own true path. I told you today I need to do something for the throat. One moment. That I would tell you a story that would haunt you. Not haunt in a negative way, but that would occupy your mind. It is about, and then I will tell you something of my own story in this way, and will be brief. It's about, let me be sure that I tell you the right name. Yes, Surangi Maharani. She was a queen of Kashmir a couple of hundred years ago, maybe in the 16th century, maybe I do something around this. And one day she was sitting on her ornate couch. It was a couch like this, but Ram Govinda and Gopal Naika, please don't take offense. It was much more ornate. It was the couch for a queen, yes. This is also good, but it is not so ornate. As she was sitting, she felt a sense of deep boredom. So she called one of her maidservants, and she said, could you please entertain me with a story or a song today? I feel so bored. So this maidservant was a very special person, as you will see in a minute. And she answered, yes, I will tell you about a cowherd who fell in love with the daughter of a king. That sounds interesting, the queen said, because she was the daughter of a king, and I mean, a cowherd who fell in love. I mean, this sounded like a highly romantic and slightly controversial relationship, which would make up for brilliant, entertaining, mind-capturing story. Yes, said the maid servant. And I want to tell you about this one meeting which they had, where they fell totally in love. You know, this cowherd was hiding in a place called Dhangati. And then this daughter of the king's name was Brishabhanu, was just passing by, and this cowherd boy ambushed her. And he stood there before her and said, you're passing through here, but actually my father owns this place and you have to pay a tax. So when this, and she, the maidservant started to talk. By now you all know who this is, right? Who is the cowherd boy? But you know everything already. daughter of the king, Radharani. And so they heard this maidservant begin to talk the story of Radha and Krishna falling totally in love with themselves. And as she was talking, the queen's attention was gripped. And for 9 days, they met every day. This special maidservant talked about this cowherd boy. She said, did you know that the creator of the universe bowed down before him his lotus feet? No, said the queen, tell me everything about it. And so in this way, the Katha came more and more alive as the queen's heart became purified by this talk about Krishna. No, we all know, you all know better than me, when we hear about Krishna, how he looks, how he feels, how he puts all the love which is here into here and into here. Means first his love goes to his lips, and then it goes to the flute, and then it goes outside of the flute, and anyone who hears it, even if it's a cow, it becomes totally attracted to him and can never stop thinking of him. So she told him everything, and then one day the queen said, I want to go to the place where all these things which you told me took place. Oh, said the maidservant, this will be very difficult. That's a journey of 3 months. No, said the queen, I don't mind. I want to see. She told her husband, and her husband said, what? You want to go to Vrindavan? The streets are not safe. You are queen. I will not allow you. It is my responsibility as your husband to take care. The noble people started to talk. Our queen is changing her disposition in life. But Surangi Maharani, that's her name, was sure she would not follow the social expectations of her time. She would go alone on pilgrimage to Vrindavan. She didn't care even what the neighbors said. So one morning, the conspiracy party was complete, and they left early, maybe 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, through a secret door in the palace, and there were palanquin bearers. After all, she is the queen. She's not just anyone. And there were extra palanquin carriers, and in case someone got sore feet or something, or feet infection, and so on. And she went in her ornate dress. She's a queen. She will always dress like a queen. But she was hidden behind a curtain, and the palanquin from outside looked very normal. And there were armed guards, but they kept the weapons inside their cloth. And long story short, they came to Vrindavan. So the queen said to her maidservant, you know, when you began to tell me about the cowherd boy who fell in love with the daughter of the queen, you spoke about one place. What was that place again? And the maidservant said, Dan Gati. The queen said, I want to go to this place where everything started for me. Do you know where it is? The maidservant said, no, I don't know. I'm myself from Ucha Gaon, but I had never gone to Dangati. Acha. So the queen said, I will ask these holy people here. So she personally went to the holy man, to some holy men, sadhus, and said, can you tell me where is Dangati and the way to Dangati? And they looked at this very richly dressed lady. Queens look like queens. Do you know what kind of makeup they used at that time? It was highly attractive. There were at least 15 different colors from one eyelid to the eyebrow. At least. It was something. What is it called? L'Oreal is a very amateurish, very brutish ideas of cosmetic, you know. Viking style they use, not the real. So the sarus went, and the fragrance was very substantial, which came from her perfumes. Who are you that you want to go to Dan Gatti? And she said, I'm a lost soul. I only have been rotating in the cycle of birth and death. She repeated like a bhaktin what the maidservant had told her. And I need to go to the place where the Lord broke the pride of the beautiful gopis. And she started to cry. So Sadhu said, "This is a very special person. You look so different." But I mean, they may not have said this. So they said, "Dan Gatti," and they usually, you know, when you have hear Sadhu giving you directions, he would say, and not much more, you know. Anyways, she found Dan Gatti. The moment she arrived in Dan Gatti, and someone said, Iha Dan Gatti, this is Dan Gatti, do you know what she did? Again, she broke all expectations. She jumped out of the palanquin and she started to dance, but not a little left, right, left, right. She really danced. And her skirt, a substantial skirt, was turning around, and all the fine embroidery, you know, this ornamentation, that ornamentation, flew and came in the dust. And finally her jeweled hair clip flew, and something which I don't know how to explain, but a decoration here, flew, and she continued to dance ecstatically. Hey Govinda, hey Gopal, she sang like this. And when she stopped her dancing, she didn't pick up her ornaments. The people were, oops. And there were innocent bridge passes. The queen just walked off. And the bridge passes asked the servants, you know, what is with these ornaments? Are they for the taking or what? And the servants asked the queen. The people here asked, what is with the ornaments? And imagine the answer of the queen. I'm no longer a queen. I'm the servant of those who live in the land of my Lord and Radharani. They may distribute it as they see fit. And that evening she arrived and she decided to dress in simple white sattvi clothes. You know sadhu? And what is the female form? Sattvi, no? And she, everything had been taken, her pride, her identification with her social role as a queen. She had understood what her maidservant said. We are eternal souls who just go from body to body, and if we identify with the roles which we play, then we will be reborn again and again. If I, for instance, think I'm a German, I will be born in Germany. It's not very pleasant. And so on. She understood that. And she became a devotee, but she felt, I must do something for the sacred place. Do you know what she chose to do? She chose to sweep the path around Giriraj, which you can also walk today. She did. Do you know how the service is called in Vrindavan? Which seva?
Soni seva.
Soni seva. So I know it as Jaru seva. Jaru means a short hand broom, and you do it. You broom. It's by the way a very very nice seva when you're in Vrindavan. Take a hand broom because you need to bow down, Mister. when you use it, it's so small, and then you go shh, 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 and you become covered with the dust. that's a very priceless ornament. So she did this every single day. I know. This kind of seva is taken very serious by those who come to Vrindavan. Have you ever met Madan Mohan Brijbasi? You have met Rukmini? You also? Krishna Premi? He used to be a singer on the Indian radio. Very talented singer. He comes from Koshi, from Vrindavan. And at one stage, he just gave that up, that position of a highly respected singer. And he did every day Jaru Seva. And do you know how, when he died, what he had done? Jaru Seva. He was old. He had swept the staircase there in one place in Vashana, and due to old age, it was hot, he lost his balance and he fell from the stairs on the rock, and that's how he left. No? Very glorious. Do you remember another, do you remember a king perhaps who did Jaru Seva? You remember? Maharaj Prataparudra. And do you remember how pleased Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was that the king gets bowed down and does the job of a street sweeper? That's a humble position in India. Street sweepers, they are not considered to be very... Many times they come from a caste which is considered to be the untouchables, no? Because they have to sweep street, and street in India means open canalization also. Do you know what is open canalization? That is the human, human whatever you call, ficus is visible, and they scoop it up. So street sweeper. But in Vrindavan, street sweeper is glorious. Vrindavan reverses positions, you know. So, yes, she totally broke out of the expectations of her time. And do you know, when she died, she was given samadhi, and there were sadhus there. And before they closed the samadhi, they put the broom next to her, because in Braj, you know, in Vrindavan, you see the instrument of the service is put next to him. Like if we would give samadhi to Amal Harin Nam at one stage, we would put the white harmonium next to him on his chest, you know, because it's the instrument through which he does his service to Krishna. No? Yeah. Manoram, we would maybe put have to put a bus into samadhi, you know. So the idea is the instrument of the service has to go there, or Ram Govinda, amongst other things, we would have to put a mobile telephone with a movie function into next. The instrument of service is seen as very special, because through this instrument of service, we attain Krishna. For instance, I'm appreciating japa very much. I'm not doing so well when I'm in Alachua because it's so busy here. But this is the instrument of my main seva. I do japa and I give japa retreats and holy name retreats and so on. You see, the instrument of seva is often put next to the sadhu who's leaving the world, no? And because it's the connection to Krishna. Prabhupada once spoke about this particular seva, nam seva. He said, your beats are your connection to Krishna. It is very important. What we do as service to Krishna, that is our best friend. No? It's our most important item in this world. More important than our car. Well, if we have used the car, or more important than Netflix, that is, you know, or what else? No need to give examples. You know, instrument of seva, something with which we serve Krishna, that is very holy, that is very sacred. Therefore, it is kept in a special place and so on and so forth. Yeah. What do we like in such a historic? It's a historical narration. This happened. It's we like that although she is from a total different world, royalty. And remember when she first addressed the sadhu with her royal attire? Do we say attire? They were asking, "Who are you? And can we take you serious?" You know. But she's totally found her way, and her ways happened to be that she would become a sadhvi. It's not all of our way to become that, you know. It's not, but we have also our authentic path before us. In Greek, they say, don't try to live. No, all places which you can take in life are already taken up, except one, and that is your place. Platon has said this, no? Very, very nice. You have to find your place, and I will end my class with giving you a little background so that you know who's speaking to you. I became interested in Krishna consciousness when I was young, perhaps 15 years old, and I wanted to become a devotee, but my parents said no way, because I come from a different type of background. And I remember I also didn't, you know, I wanted to become a devotee, but I knew I would be disinherited if I would do this. And I was also a little attached to money. So to lose all that, I was in two minds about it. One mind said yes, the other mind said no. So it happened that the devotees of the Hamburg temple, Hamburg is a harbor town in North Germany, wanted to go and see Prabhupada in London, but they had no money for the ship. So they went to me and said, can you please, the temple, this was about 50 devotees, want to go and see Prabhupada, but we have no money for the ferry. It's a ship. Ferry sound. It's a ship. It goes for hours, you know. And I said, "What we want? My honor to pay the ship for you." So I went to the bank and took the amount away from the bank. And then they said, "Would you also like to meet Prabhupada?" Well, I said I would have to go incognito. You know, my family could not know this. Maybe they will tell the police to get me halfway or something. So I went. They said they would not tell it. But I thought, I'm going to see a saint. I cannot pay that for this. I will go for free on the ferry. So I was a little adventurous. So I went, I was hiding, and I was outwitting, the ticket controller, and I was hiding in the boat inside, because I thought, going on pilgrimage, you know, so let me go properly. And I did meet Prabhupada later in London. He was scheduled to come, but then he stayed for one Ratha Yatra, I believe, San Francisco in America. So he came late, and but I stayed all the time in London. And I asked him a question, and he gave me the answer. And I decided after this, I would run away from home and become a devotee. Yes, my friends were. I was very much connected with the music scene. I appreciated music very much, and they also didn't appreciate that I would leave everything. But I decided this. I feel deep in my heart, this is my way. I will break the expectations of others, and not the devotees were not seen by all my friends as cool, you know. And when you're young, the word cool is important for you. It was just not cool to follow four rules and regulations and so on. But I said, I have to follow this. I will do this. And what, you're dancing on the street? Yes, with pleasure. And all this was not cool, but dancing in disco is okay, but not in the street. So I did all this, and I have never regretted this. Perhaps because one devotee told me, "Yes, you joined the Krishna conscious movement, but have you seen this quotation of Bhaktivinoda Thakur? No one should do what his conscience does not allow him to do. We should follow authority because it shows us a good direction, but we have to walk on our own feet in that direction." No? So the authentic part is important, and therefore I try to do this. I'm not always appreciated for this by all devotees, but I'm trying to follow this voice, because something would break in me if I wouldn't do, and that is the fact. So I wanted to share this with you, because I've met so many young people who have told me that they had a conflict in them. Now, I need to also conclude in something. To follow authority is good when you see there is an area where I don't see clearly. And then I just ask, please tell me what I should do. To follow also spiritual life styles which maintain a sattvic lifestyle, you know, is very good, because if you live a lifestyle which is too much tamasic and rajasic, you know yourself. It clouds your perspective. It's not good. You need to navigate your way between following spiritual authority and following your own path. But that is both is important. Good. This is what I had prepared for you. I hope that you will feel inspired, and let us remember Krishna at the end, who you know, the devotees. Rupa Goswami speaks about the devotees, about Krishna's mental qualities. These are the qualities in Krishna's mind. He appreciates every little service, slight service that is done for him. He is tolerant. He tolerates even offenses. That means, that doesn't mean we should do offenses. It means Krishna is kind to us no matter, even if we do mistakes. If you can avoid mistakes, it's much better, I think. And third quality, Krishna suffers when we suffer. And like this queen who became a simple mendicant in Vrindavan, and how she was buried with her instrument of seva. But this is not the end. I wanted to introduce to you my assistant Gokrishna. Some of you know him. Amala Harinam knows him. Yeah, Ram Govinda certainly knows him. And I wanted to request Gokrishna to end our evening with a little Hare Krishna Kirtan.
Hare, Hare, Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
Oh. Said just say a few words. I'm very, very happy to be back again in Alachua. I think this is my third time. I came once already with Maharaj, and I came actually as a small boy to Alachua. We had come to, my parents wanted to take us to Disney World, so on the way, like, let's go to New Ramanretti. And but yeah, I really appreciate actually being amongst the youth a lot, because I'm actually also youth, and I grew up also in a devotee family, and I feel very much at home being here. So thank you for, allow me to be in your association. Hare Krishna.
I'm just saying, I have these very fond memories of your community. What I so much appreciate is in this community, this open spirit, really. And I do remember things like sitting with all of you in Kirtan. That was my first introduction. I gave a few seminars here, and what I also liked, and I will do this again, I talked about Krishna, just Krishna Katha, and devotees liked it. They were not thinking, oh, it's I don't know what they're not thinking, but they liked it so much. And also we have I visited Bhadrahari Prabhu, and that was very nice for me to meet such a god brother. In fact, I think tomorrow I'm his guest. You are, I think, all invited, isn't it? Small, yeah. Small group. Yes. And I'm very... You know, this open atmosphere, this very friendly atmosphere. There's only one thing which I do not like in Alachua, that's AC. I regularly get a cold when you are not accustomed to it, no? But I will tolerate. I will take some extra vitamin C, and then if you have something if you have something to recommend for someone who has no, but that's a physical thing. That's not important. Yeah, and really, I must say, I feel this community has a lot of attractive power, because do you know the coherence? Coherence is the state when you allow a maximum of individuality, but in one idea. For instance, a healthy body is when there's a liver doing its liver thing, there's a kidney doing its kidney thing, there's the heart doing what a heart does, very distinct functions, and when they should mellow down, then the whole body, the idea of the health suffered. A coherent state is when there is maximum diversity combined in one idea. That is strong. But when everything is streamlined, everyone does the same, think the same, it's not healthy, because people cannot grow into themselves, no? So I like this very, very much. What to say? It is what Kishore Krishna expressed. I'm very grateful for your question. Please come more often.
We're greatly appreciative of your association, so if you can, you know, humble request, try to annually come.
Yeah.
I know you're pulled always here and there,
yeah.
But we really love you,
Maharaj. Yeah, it is. If I would connect a loudspeaker to my mind and you would be able to hear out loud every single thought, you might reconsider your invitation. I think we all are like this, no? Imagine there would be a loudspeaker hooked on your mind. No, but thank you very much. Thank you very much. Fine. Then I think I have smelled and I have heard both the preparations for Pasharam and the rumbling in the young stomachs, which indicate hunger. I think Gopal Naika, maybe you, Pasharam is ready to be. And how do? We come to you?
House up,
oh yeah, good. Hare Krishna.